Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
30 seconds.
And now the act you've all been waiting for.
Now back to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I am the smartest man alive.
Call Johnny now at 844-5600.
Funny name for a guy.
20 years of sports coverage. This is Nashville's sports original.
Stop what you're doing. And listen,
WNSR 560 on 95.9 FM.
Here's Johnny.
Thunderstick! Thunderstick! Yeah, 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 Thunderstick!
And welcome to hour number two. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams back in the control room making sure everything runs great there. Coming up a little bit later this hour, around 5:35, Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, a part of the show. But right now, our good buddy Joe Rexroad, columnist with The Athletic. You can also see their work besides at theathletic.com. Also, theathletic.com/Nashville. Joe, thank you as always, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Johnny. Good to be with you as always.
By the way, I'm just curious, today would have been the start of the SEC football media days from Atlanta. Now, we don't know how this impacts knowing that there are no media days this year, if that means that Atlanta will get it again next year and they fast forward with Nashville the following year. There's other things and questions that they have to get answered that are probably more important on their agenda right now than SEC media days and where it will be in 21. But from your thoughts and your time being able to cover the SEC football media days, I saw Herb Vinson with the SEC had thrown this out there on Twitter for those that have covered past SEC football media days, maybe one of your favorite memories. And I had a hard time with it. I've been covering it since 2008, and every year I have so many wonderful memories. I don't really think I could bring it down and come down to just one memory per se.
Yeah, well, see, now, of course, I did not experience a lot of Bielema. I didn't experience much Spurrier. I didn't get like all the, Philip Fulmer getting served. I mean, a lot of great things.
That was bizarre, by the way. That was a very bizarre day.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, largely, and this would have been my fifth one, not a ton of really memorable stuff. Actually, I tweeted today, one of my favorite things was when someone tweeted that Tennessee and Vanderbilt beat writer Adam Sparks was, quote, countryer than a hit possum.
I saw that.
Thing to his accent. Yeah, so there's one. But, yeah, I think a lot of times those media days are not very eventful or memorable, but you hope you get, a couple good nuggets out of 4 days.
I threw it out there last hour. For me, it was really special. Last year, represented my 12th year in a row covering SEC football media days, and it came down to that final day, and I figured out, and because I keep track of all interviews I've ever had as far as guests on my show, and it was coming down to number 500 on that particular day, and I just didn't want it to be just anyone. And I remember And I'd had Coach Malzahn on the last 2 years, and I wasn't scheduled to have him on last year, but I reached out to Auburn's media relations department. I reached out to Gus Malzahn. He was pumped and excited to be guest number 500 for me, and I will always be thankful and grateful because I can always say number 500 was extra special.
That is very cool. Very cool. See, you helped. That's a milestone, but also a memory that you helped create. So, and that's cool. I have nothing cool like that.
But see, you do too, because look, if you had not come on in previous years, the three or four times that you had popped on, then I would not have had 500 that particular day. I would still be waiting have 500.
There you go. So I did contribute.
You did contribute.
Especially as a writer, SEC media days, and I've been to other ones that are a little more writer geared. It's very much just kind of a TV show. I think it's a good radio row is good. It's a good TV show. There's not a lot, you don't get a lot of long conversations with people. So I don't love it, but man, I miss it this week. I'd take every last second of that this week, and got to watch the Preds practice for a half hour today, and it was like I was at the Super Bowl at midfield or something.
You know, speaking of which, you know, next week, opening day as far as Major League Baseball, we're talking NBA, although with the NBA coming back, we find out today Russell Westbrook had tested positive for COVID-19. We do have the NHL. The big things, though, what people are focused on, what does the NFL look like in the fall? What does college football look like in the fall? And college football, to me, I just can't wrap my arms around college football kicking off and playing in September, October. I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's a lot harder for me to see, too. I think the Big Ten, obviously, big move last week, cutting down the conference games. The Ivy League goes to the spring. Other leagues have now followed suit. We will see others from here go to the spring. The SEC meeting this week, I wouldn't be surprised if at some point we hear that they've got a similar plan. I'm not totally convinced that we'll hear that this week, but I wouldn't be surprised if we hear that they're also going to go to conference only. But you do look at the whole thing and think something's got to change. Things have got to get better, right? There's no question things have got to get better. So maybe if you go conference only, you can at least say, okay, basically push everything back, push camp back till late August, put the start of the season back to the beginning of October. Will that make any difference? I have no idea. I'm not super optimistic, Johnny, based on what we're seeing around the country, but at least you buy yourself some more time. I do think they're going to go to the last second, to the ends of the earth, to try to preserve some kind of a football season in the fall.
What's frustrating from my standpoint, because it's out there if you want to Google it, as far as where we stand with possibilities as far as vaccines, and yet you don't see anybody really reporting on it. And look, it's not like we're hoping just one. There's only one possibility, and we've got our hopes wrapped around this one possibility. There's more than one, and that's why I still remain optimistic about a vaccine by January. I really do. And that's why I always thought January, February made sense. I said this in April, said it last month, I said it in May. I continue to say January, February for college football, but it's not just a pipe dream. It's based on the fact I really believe that we will have a vaccine. That's the most disappointing thing, you know, from a news standpoint, because it impacts all of us. It impacts businesses. It impacts sports. We don't get enough of those stories where we stand as far as the progress that's being made worldwide getting us closer to a vaccine.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's interesting. I think if it was absolutely locked in, like, look, there's going to be a vaccine by January, which means not only could you play, but you might be able to play with people in the stands. I think you very well may see people throw all their energy into, okay, well, let's do that. You know, and NFL maybe even, you know, I don't know. But, and I have read some stuff about the vaccines, and you're right. I mean, it's competition, right?
Right.
It's an absolute, I mean, it's the scientific community has been focused on this above all things for months now, which you would think would speed up the process, and appears to have done so. But you still, like, you know, we don't have assurances that we'll have a vaccine, that it'll be safe, it'll be ready to be, you know, widely distributed, all that stuff. I agree with you. I'm hopeful, certainly. I'm hopeful. And that is certainly a case, even though we don't know, that is on the side of, if you're listing pros and cons for moving things, it's like, hey, what if you do? What if you have it, and now you can do all the things you want to do, and you might, even though you're gonna take a huge hit if you move it financially, but you might be able to recoup more, too, in terms of attendance.
Well, I think, first of all, I mean, as soon as the day we're getting the Big Ten making the announcement about conference-only games in the fall, the same day, we're getting news that Ohio State is calling off voluntary workouts because of COVID-19. So right. It's almost like you make announcements from you're trying to stay positive, and then the very next breath, you get the negative story. And I'm just kind of dumbfounded by the fact that we're not getting more updates on where we stand with these vaccines, because everything, when I do Google searches, I can find them, but you're having to work to get to those kind of stories. And those are positive stories, reasons for all of us to be hopeful and optimistic. We all want hope, and they're right there. Unfortunately, you have to work to get to those stories.
Exactly. I mean, the idea that anyone on our side of things and in sports media would want anything but sports is insane, and yet I've heard that a lot. And if you mention the possibility of things not being able to be played, it's like, why would you root against that? Be positive. Like, no, I mean, I want it to happen, but you got to get there. You got to earn it. And, you know, I think, you know, we've seen how different countries, and certainly it's more of a challenge in a much larger country like we have compared to like a New Zealand that wiped it right out. But still, there, you know, from the top down, we've seen some strategies work, some not work. And I also think when you look at college sports, I think I've heard a lot of people, and it makes sense, talk for years about how it'd be great to have a commissioner for football, someone who can kind of gather everyone together and you know, streamline some things, lead. And I think we've seen that lacking too. And it's just the whole thing with college football, you know, you go to conference only games and certainly you can be assured that you've got a certain standard of testing and resources in there. You got flexibility too, but still, you know, how good do you feel about avoiding outbreaks when we're seeing this all happen with workouts? When we see what's happening in society, we see young people just smashing into bars and beaches and, like, how can you feel good that these college athletes who are not employees are just going to put themselves in a self-imposed bubble for the whole fall so that you don't have outbreaks? I mean, I think that's highly unrealistic.
Oh, I see. I totally agree. And by the way, if you're looking for a perfect person candidate to be that guy, the czar of college football, I mean, Bill Hancock, here's a guy that on his resume, he's now the current person overseeing the college football playoff. Prior to that, he was in charge of the BCS, and prior to that, he was overseeing the NCAA men's basketball tournament with regards to the Final Four and everything that goes into it. So there's already a perfect person in place, and outstanding individual, and somebody who has the, you know, I have the utmost respect for as a human being, plus what he represents from a professional standpoint. So if you really wanted to go down that path, you've got somebody right there with just look at his resume alone. I don't know if anybody else can match that resume.
Yeah, no, that's a great candidate, no doubt. Yeah. And, you know, moving forward, you know, eventually we'll get past this and we'll have a vaccinated society and, you know, we'll have some sort of normalcy, although it'll be interesting to see what comes all the way back and what, you know, I think we might see some real change in college sports just in terms of the constant drone of you know, the arms race and spend. You know, I do think that we may see some course correcting out of this. But yeah, leaders like that, a lot ahead too in college sports, I think could be very helpful, no doubt about it.
Joe Rexrow with The Athletic joining us. As far as, you know, your thoughts, for example, the Preds, I mean, I look back and a little bit later this hour, I'm going to have Eric Hasseltine on, the voice of the Grizzlies. And, you know, the Grizzlies, before everything got shut down, you know, just having a memorable season, exceeding the expectations for this team and the play of Ja Morant. And, you know, it's interesting. I mean, to me, if you win, you win. You don't really need asterisks per se. I mean, you go back to when the Redskins won their Super Bowl in the early 80s. You know, you don't need an asterisk as far as that's concerned. When they beat the Dolphins, they beat the Dolphins. And everybody was playing with the equal playing field, per se. But it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out and the teams that were hot then, if they remain the teams that are hot now, and if any will be, you know, hurt or impacted by maybe players that not participating, you know, all of a sudden attract COVID-19, whatever the case may be.
Right, and there's COVID, and then of course, you know, you look at like a Rondo with the Lakers. I mean, that, you know, with the what is it? I think a wrist or a hand, right?
Right,
broken, out 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, that could be significant. Yeah, well, you know, Ryan Ellis was one of the three guys the Predators made available today, along with John Hines, and he was asked about the whole asterisk thing. You know, a lot of people, I suppose, will be saying that about these tournaments. And like his point was, if you are putting one on there, you know, you're putting it on there because it's harder, you know. And I'm with him. I mean, to me, Now, there's some things that we just won't have as part of these tournaments. If they're able to go and continue and carry on and finish, and I think that's a bigger if with the NBA than the NHL just because of location. But if you get through all this and living like this, I mean, all of us who have been living this life, how hard is it? I mean, it's been hard for us in my house, I can tell you that. I'm sure a lot of people can relate. So you get through all that, you may not have the fans, the home field, you know, the home court advantage, or, you know, you have to deal with opposing hostile fans or whatever. Man, you have earned something that should not be considered any less at all of a championship won in a regular year.
Well, I mean, perfect example, if you go and catch a Dodgers game out in Los Angeles and you look up and you see, and I threw this out there, you see the banner from 1981. Well, you remember that season started and then stopped for a couple of months with the strike before resuming. And so, but you don't see the asterisk on the pennant. No, you don't. You see the World Series flag flying high, and you look back, and were they the last team standing? Absolutely. So they're your champs, period.
I rooted as a kid. One of my favorite teams was the Washington Professional Football Team, which will be renamed soon, long overdue there. But, you know, two of my favorite Super Bowls, they won. John Riggins and the Smurfs and the Hogs over the Dolphins, and then Doug Williams just lighting up the Broncos. And both of those, one came in a 9-game season because of a strike, and then one came in a season, 1987, had 3 games with, you know, with replacement players. And I've never seen an asterisk put on either of those championships. So to your point, I mean, this is, to me, if anything, this is, I mean, if someone gets out of the qualifying round like the Preds are in against Arizona, imagine what you'd have to do to actually win the cup from there.
Oh, absolutely. Not going to disagree. By the way, you brought up the Redskins. You know, I even told my father-in-law during a 4th of July weekend, he, you know, grew up a Redskins fan, and he doesn't wear anymore, but he had a Washington Redskins jacket. And I told him, don't sell it. You're going to want to keep that. And then here we are, fast forward with that news today. Always had a problem with the Redskins name. But at the same time, though, I don't have a problem with the Braves or the Chiefs. I know Florida State has a working relationship with the Seminole Tribe. And it's almost like along those same lines, if you go back to when the Atlanta Braves were doing the tomahawk chop, it started because Deion Sanders, a former Florida State athlete, football, baseball, track, he was a part of the team, and that's why they started doing the chop in the first place. And so, you know, if you really want to explore the tomahawk chop with the Braves, it started based on a working relationship Florida State has with the Seminole Tribe. I don't necessarily have a problem with the chop.
Yeah, I mean, to me, and I agree on team names, I mean, to me, like, you've got to listen to the groups, you know, that you're talking about and have a relationship with them and decide from there. I mean, personally, I feel like the chop can be retired at this point. But I do take, you know, that's just my opinion. But again, like, I'm not the person to ask, you know. But I think for all my life, I mean, you look at the word Redskins, and I mean, that stood alone for me for a long time. Like, how could that ever even be, like, how could anyone have come up with that idea, you know, as a name? So this is long overdue. And, you know, I know some people think it's like the slippery slope, and now you're gonna, you know, change the Cowboys because that'll offend somebody. And I'm like, yeah, I don't buy all that. Look, this is its own thing. And I think there's ongoing discussions with the ones you mentioned. Some people have changed team names. Eastern Michigan University, they used to be the Hurons. Now they're the Eagles. I mean, to me, it's similar. Like, to me, it's like you could say, hey, you're paying homage to a particular tribe, you know, but they changed. I think it's worth a discussion and all that. But, yeah, I mean, all that, this does not necessarily lead to any of that. This is its own thing.
I go back 15, 16 years ago when we saw a lot of these college programs, you know, Southeast Missouri State changed and went away from the Indians. And I remember that there were some national columnists trying to say, okay, Florida State, it's your turn. You need to change. And the Seminole Tribe said, hey, wait a second. You know, it's fine to have your opinions, but out of this one, because you're barking up the wrong tree. But at least when you think about the Chiefs or the Seminoles, at least Florida State did it the smart way back in the time, and having that incredible relationship with the Seminole tribe. Nobody else ever did that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, every situation is different. And there are situations where I think people, you know, go too far and overstep when we have these movements. You know, I mean, I think with some of the statues and monuments, I think a lot of these Confederate things that were put up in the 20th century, absolutely. There's, you know, you're not erasing history when you take a statue down. You're just not celebrating a person, right? I mean, Robert E. Lee is always going to be in the history books. But then then you see people going after, you know, like Abe Lincoln statue and stuff like that. And, you know, to me, I think there's a big difference between someone who contributed to the country or had a big part in the growth of the country and, you know, someone in the Confederacy. But, you know, it's discussions that have to take place rather than screaming.
Well, in these discussions, and a lot of the things that have been brought up in recent months, these are things that we shouldn't even be having a lot of these talks in 2020. These are things that should have been resolved decades ago.
No doubt about it. I mean, you think about, you know, Vanderbilt made history recently because, you know, Candace Story Lee, you know, the first, you know, black woman in the SEC to be an AD, I think the fourth in Power Five. I mean, you know, and that's history. But also you look at it and say, my goodness, it's 2020, you know, but that's why when people who wonder, you know, why is this such a big deal or why do people quote unquote make it about race? I mean, there's just still a long way to go. Not saying, you know, that there hasn't been progress, but there's still more progress to make. And I think in athletics in particular, you talk about administrators, leadership, and certainly you talk about, you know, football coaches. I mean, to me, it's just it's inexcusable the numbers that we have today.
Joe, before we let you go, remind the listeners again best ways to keep up with your coverage, Titans, Preds, and everything in between.
Well, my kids haven't been able to get me on Instagram or TikTok, but I am at Joe Rexroad on Twitter. And, you know, check out our stuff at theathletic.com/Nashville. Actually, we'll have a column tomorrow on the big question for the Predators, Pecorine or UC Soros in goal.
All right, buddy. Listen, have a great week. All my best to you and your family. Continue to stay safe, and we'll talk soon.
Okay, thanks, Johnny. Appreciate you having me, man. Take care.
Thank you now. That's Joe Rexroad with The Athletic. Still coming up a little bit later this hour, Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. But your phone calls next segment as well if you'd like to weigh in. 615-844-5600. This reminder, don't forget, designated drivers are the real MVP. So if you've been drinking, pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Well, good afternoon. They're working a wreck over in Bellshire. It's at OHB at Delmar Drive. Still working that crash there at Bell Road at Hickory Hollow Parkway. Murfreesboro Pike at Ransom Place turned out to have injuries there in Antioch on that crash. Busy, but it's moving 65 down into Brentwood through Franklin through Williamson County. Hey, for that perfect getaway just outside of Gatlinburg, check out Cosby Creek Cabins. Log on to CosbyCreekCabins.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking three prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-478-0480. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-478-0480. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-478-0480. 1-800-478-0480.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Welcome, Angie McCartney.
When he'd come home, Jim would say to him, "How are your bowels, son? Are you eating properly?" He'd go, "Dad, you know, I'm a beetle. You don't ask me about my bowels." Oh, it's not that funny. Come on, you know.
We didn't expect to be talking about Paul's bowels this morning.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
Welcome back. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Zach Williams making sure everything stays under control. 615-844-5600 if you'd like to be a part of the show. 844-5600. Did you hear where you got some former and some current NFL players too wanting to team up with A-Rod and J-Lo to buy the New York Mets?
Some strange names. That you just didn't, I don't know, for me personally, I just wouldn't think, you know, Travis Kelce would pop to mind or anyone like that.
Well, how about DeMarco Murray?
DeMarco Murray? Was just out of the grave.
You have a Hall of Fame linebacker, Brian Urlacher, and so, yeah, some different combinations of name.
That has to be, like, different players, obviously, but, like, the same management, I would assume.
The group, by the way, they've already submitted their first bid, $1.7 billion. Now,
I got that laying around, don't you?
Yeah. Now, hedge fund billionaire Steve Cohen, he has so far made the top bid of $2 billion as part of this. So it'd be interesting to see where and, you know, how this ends up.
What's to buy the Mets for that much money?
It's New York, baby.
I guess. Jeez.
But yeah, it wasn't necessarily that A-Rod and J-Lo involved. It was the NFL players that were part of this conversation.
Brian Urlacher, just out of left field. If you were going to tell me, okay, current past players that's going to try to buy the Mets, I would be very New York minded. But yeah. Travis Kelce, DeMarco Murray, I don't know. They just didn't pop in my head first.
But here's the thing. If Travis Kelce's involved, then why not? Because you get the 10-year extension, right? It could be worth over $500 million with a quarterback extraordinaire who also loves baseball. You see where I'm going here? What about Travis Kelce's teammate, Patrick Mahomes?
I know. Patrick Mahomes could probably go buy a couple minor league teams right now for easy money for what he's making.
Well, you may need that $300 extra million or something to be thrown in there if you want to beat out so you may need his money.
When you're swimming around with the likes of A-Rod and J-Lo and Travis Kelce, I imagine there's a couple other more sharks out there that you can feed from a little bit easier for $300 million.
Because here's the thing, these teams are not going to go down in value. So whether it's the Mets or whichever, you know, when you talk about these franchises, Major League Baseball, NFL, et cetera, they're not going to go down. And so, you know, what are you going to – look, worst case scenario, you go bust, you still have $150 million plus if you're Patrick Mahomes. That's not counting, you know, endorsement deals and everything else. So why not?
Well, you know, he hadn't got the money yet, right?
Well, I know, but he look, they're not asking for it up front. They can work that out to to complete the details.
Well, so, he's still trying to sell his house in Kansas City to buy a newer house, I think.
We're still, you know, the SEC meeting, right? They're also the NFL and the Players Association, they're meeting today. We haven't heard word yet on where this stands, but working out the details of the return of the NFL as far as these training camps later this month. Because, first of all, Houston and Kansas City, they're scheduled to begin coming up next week, actually on the 25th, and then everybody else reports later in the week.
Are you know what I'm worried again, and just to reflect with the TSSAA's decision here locally, I'm worried that you're just going to get more of these, like, we're going to make a final decision later on in the month. we're having these meetings, and I just get worried about that.
But see, I think it's smart for, like, college football, these Power 5 conferences talking about waiting to July 31st, because if you make a decision today, this is the way it's going to be. I mean, only thing you're doing, I think, once again, is setting up folks for disappointment.
Right. Well, that's, I feel like, even if you're saying the 31st, right, it's then...
Well, you have to make a decision. If you're looking for Labor Day week and all that, you really can't wait past July 31st.
Yeah.
And we already know that the non-conference games are going away. So you're probably thinking about the next week, right, the week after Labor Day weekend. So... But really, if you're making decisions about that, you have to make them by the end of the month.
Yeah.
You cannot wait until mid-August to make decisions about the second week of September, for example.
There's a lot of, like, third grade science projects, I'll just do it later kind of vibes going on right now. A lot of we'll just push it down. Don't worry. We can get it done the day before.
Look, I'm going back to what I said in April, May, June, and now this month, January, February. You know, and you'll be happier if you just embrace that, and in the sense that you're not going to be disappointed. I just don't see there's nothing in the crystal ball that tells me that September or even October is going to make sense for college football. It's just not.
Yeah, I know, and it's you just wonder what all these meetings are really good for. I mean, I guess there's underlying stuff too, but that we don't know. But
are
still.
You like me though? Don't you agree with me that I wish we would see more positive reports on where we stand? Yeah, you don't have to do it every day because I would get old. I understand that, but at least some reports out there how close we're getting, because it's not just one or two. There's a lot of competition out there and a lot of smart folks out there working to find a vaccine, right? So. But you have to search for it. And why are we having to search for it? It should be out there, because that's a feel-good. That'd be something, like I said, you can wrap your arms around. That's hope, and it's out there, and reasons to be optimistic, yet you don't see it anywhere.
Well,
I mean, do you ever see it? I don't see it.
Well, Johnny, this is the thing. This is the problem with social media, and this is the problem with a lot of our major medias nowadays, right? That kind of stuff doesn't sell the tickets. That doesn't put the people in the seats.
I understand, but right now we need hope.
Oh, no. I mean, I agree, but people want to pay attention to the bad, right?
I guess.
That's what sells the most. If it bleeds, it leads. So there you go.
All right. Coming up on the other side, a chance to visit with our good buddy Eric Hasseltine. It's hard to believe. We have not talked to him since early March. He is the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, and talking about things as far as returning, knowing you've got the NBA right now slated to begin this month. We'll talk to him on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Latest crash in Madison. Spring Branch at Myatt Drive. OHB at Del Mar. Still working that accident. Bell Road at Hickory Hollow Parkway is still in its clearing stages. Heavy but moving out here on all the major outbound routes. Let's keep up the good work. Hey, for that perfect getaway just outside of Gatlinburg, check out Cosby Creek Cabins. Log on right now, CosbyCreekCabins.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French fresh-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We were small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. When you turn to Rocket Mortgage, we can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so now is a great time to call 8338-ROCKET. And if you need some extra money, a cash-out refinance could give you that financial boost you're looking for. Call today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Forecast. Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR SkyCan forecast for this afternoon. Mostly sunny with a high near 91 with a north wind 5 to 10 miles an hour. Tonight mostly clear with a low around 68. And tomorrow sunny with a high near 93 with calm winds becoming northeast around 5 miles an hour in the afternoon. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Jeff DeWitt.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Every weekday afternoon, it's the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Frank's with you. Zach Williams making sure everything runs great. Chance to go back to the hotline. And boy, it's hard to believe, but early March, last time we had a chance to visit with our next guest, Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. Eric, I hope you're in wonderful spirits. And as always, welcome back to the show.
Johnny, I appreciate it. It's been a minute and just ready to get back to it as soon as we can, but the hiatus was necessary, and you know, the NBA handled it, I thought, as well as they possibly could, as long as a lot of other people, and there's still some, you know, bumps in the road, and some people can say there's been mistakes made, but I think, you know, we got to cut everybody a little bit of slack here or there, because no one really understood what they were dealing with or how to go about this the perfect way. And you know, hindsight's 20/20, and I hear a lot of people being critical about how this or that went, or, you know, this could have gone smoother. You know, no one really knew. I mean, I've talked to really, really smart people about the whole situation, and even they were, you know, some of the smartest people I know, and doctors were mistaken in what they thought would happen. So I think the NBA did the best that they could, and I think that they're moving in a direction that is what they hope the answer to finishing the season.
Right now, the Grizzlies 18 days away from getting restarted on Friday, July 31st. They're playing an afternoon game at 3 against Portland. As far as the Memphis Grizzlies in July compared to what they looked like back in March, what can we expect, you think?
Well, they're going to be healthy. That's one thing. You know, we were coming off a home loss to the Orlando Magic, and that home loss stung a little bit. You know, they win that game, they're a game above 500 going on a road trip with pretty much, I felt like, an opportunity. You know, if they had won that game, had they gone on the road trip and beaten Portland, who was the first game the night after the league shut down on the 12th of March, and then they were going to play in Utah, and that had to San Antonio, or it might have been flip-flop San Antonio, then Utah. but they were going to face a San Antonio team that I thought they could have pretty much put their backs against the wall as well. And had they come home off that road trip, even at one game below 500 at 2-1, I thought they would have created enough space between at least two of the teams. And then you got to remember on the night that everything shut down before they got to the tip-off, the Pelicans were in Sacramento to play the Kings. So one of those two teams was going to take a loss too. So they were excited about the opportunity to get Justice Winslow into the lineup. They were going to get Jaren Jackson Jr. back very shortly, whether it was in San Antonio or in Utah. They weren't sure, or maybe even once they returned home. Brandon Clark was probably a couple more weeks away from that, and they were looking forward to a strong, surge down the end of March and into early April. Well, now those guys are all back, and I think it's interesting in this situation because what you have is a very young team who really has a one-track mind. They want to go hoop. They want to go play ball, and they're probably the roster that's as close to remembering this situation that they're in right now, where they're going to play in an arena with no fans and they're going to stay in a hotel together and that's all it's going to be about, than anyone. You hear all the complaints coming about food and what it looks like, and look who are the guys doing it. It's the guys that have been in the league 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, even longer than that for Rajon Rondo. They're not used to this. You hear the guys in the Grizzlies are going, this is what we're used to. Like, this is what we've done all of our lives. This is what, for Ja Morant, this is what you did at Murray State. I think it didn't sit well with some people complaining about food, people complaining about accommodations. And if that looks like a Motel 6 to Rajon Rondo, I got to start staying at Motel 6s because that looked like a pretty solid room to me. Is it some of the rooms we stay in on the road? No. But, everybody's got to take a deep breath and realize this is not normal right now for everything going on. And this is a new situation for all. And, in the end, it's about trying to satisfy the obligation of filling out the season, the television contract, and getting this season to a conclusion so we can move on with the future. And hopefully, as we progress, they'll progress in their fight against this pandemic, and we'll be able to get back to whatever our new sense of normal is as quickly as possible.
As far as Ja Morant, do you feel like he has something to prove? Because to me, with the time away and then everybody is going to start things up again, it's almost like the head start that Ja Morant had as far as Rookie of the Year, it almost like goes away.
No, I don't think that, because I think there'll still be people that think he's played more games, he's had more opportunity to stay consistent. And the fact of the matter is the Grizzlies still have a better record. And they have a better record than New Orleans the record is comparable to what the Pelicans were once Zion Williams got back. They only lost a half a game since the All-Star break when they had the toughest schedule. And since Zion's come back, the Pelicans haven't really made up that much ground. So I think he has something to prove because, as he said, he wasn't 100% healthy when the season started. He was still coming off that arthroscopic surgery in the summer. He said, I've been playing since this all broke down. Let's be honest about it. Players had opportunities to get into gyms that were closed to public and no one was around them. And so they got an opportunity to go play ball. And he said his legs feel great and he feels as strong as he ever has. So I think that's where it gets really interesting, because if Ja Morant can kick it up another notch, now we're going to have some fun. Now we're going to see a guy in the open floor that has already dunked over 1 7-footer and tried to dunk over another, and is probably going to try to do it multiple times in this showcase. So it's going to be fun to watch, I think, and I think he's going to be ready to go.
Eric Castletine, the voice of the Grizzlies, joining us. And it's one of these things, too, we talk about the slow start, but once again, Ja Morant was healing up, and once everything started clicking, people forget that this team so exceeded the expectation. No matter what happens moving forward, this team was way above where they were supposed to be this year.
Oh, no doubt. And no doubt about it, Johnny. And here's the thing. They have a chance to cement their spot at least into a play-in situation very early on. I mean, they have a 3.5-game lead. To blow that, if they win 3 games, someone has to be 7-1. I mean, that's probably not going to happen. The interesting thing to me will be what happens in the 9 seed or the 8 seed if there's a half game separating two teams, or let's say you're the Grizzlies and you still have a 3.5-game lead over whoever's in ninth.
and that team has played either one fewer or one more game than you. Well, do you then schedule a game to see if the Grizzlies can win that game against somebody else, or do you play it out? Or if that's a half-game lead, let's say Sacramento has a half-game lead on the Pelicans, and the Pelicans are four games back, and the Kings are 3.5, but the Kings have played one more game. Do you give the Pelicans the opportunity to play that game to possibly catch Sacramento, and who do they play in that manner? That's what they're going to be faced with, those decisions. I'm sure they have those contingency plans, but let's be honest, if they don't win games, they wouldn't have gone anyway. So they're going to have to play their way in, just like they would have if we would have finished out the season. Probably it's an easier deal for them a little bit right now, just because you're talking about, you know, 8 games instead of 17. And of those 17 games that they had remaining on their schedule when this thing ended, 16 of them were against teams that are in Orlando. So they were going to have a tough schedule going ahead, but they had played well. They had been playing better basketball, and they were about to get healthy. And so I think that first game against Portland is massive. I think the early game against San Antonio is massive, and the early game against New Orleans is massive. If you win 2 out of those 3, I think you're in, at least in the play-in series. If you win all 3, I think there's a good chance they could just eliminate the play-in series and be 4 games ahead of anybody. Because if they win those 3, there's a lot of people down there that seem to think that, you know, getting towards the end of that schedule when teams have solidified their number, that coaches will treat it more like, you know, end of season or preseason stuff where their stars are only going to play like 15 to 18 minutes just to keep their legs fresh. We'll see what the league says about that, because the league is trying to put the best possible product out to keep fans engaged in what they're doing down there. And to be honest, they're hoping they can just get to that point to have that decision. If they do, then they will.
We have about another minute remaining. You talk about the team has its chance and had the chance to get healthier based on what they looked like back in March to where they are today. How does that impact the team, especially coming off the bench?
Oh, I think it's massive, because you get Justice Winslow back, and now the question becomes, does he move into the starting lineup after this practice session and the 3 scrimmage games they're going to play, or do you bring him into a second unit that was already one of the better benches in the league in terms of production? I think more than likely, my guess is it's not right away. Eventually, Justice Winslow starts because of his athletic ability and ability to defend the perimeter. And Kyle Anderson's a guy you can plug and play wherever. I mean, he's just a heads-up basketball player, but he's not the most athletic guy. And when you want a guy to guard some of the best players on the opposite team that are superior athletes, you need that physical strength and you need that athleticism. So I think that they're, you know, I think they're going to be able to come together. They've all talked about the fact that they have an incredible camaraderie in a very short amount of time, and the cohesion that they have already found is not normal. So I'm excited. I'm really excited to see this group. I want them to go compete in games that mean a lot down the stretch. And the fact that you look at their roster and think, boy, this core group's going to be together for the next 3 to 4 years, I'm looking at it going, okay. You know, so depending on what happens moving forward with a couple of pieces, guys like DeAnthony Melton or a guy like, you know, Kyle Anderson or some of the other, you know, there's not really a lot of free agent question marks out there. Josh Jackson is one of them. He's still with the team now, though. And you keep that core group together, and they're able to to develop, especially in tough situations. This team's going to be tough for years to come.
Eric, thank you again for taking time out. Please be safe in all your travels. And here's hoping that everybody stays safe from COVID-19 during this process. But I do appreciate you taking time out with us, and certainly looking forward to having you on again soon.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Johnny. Same to everybody up there. Hopefully we can get through this all together and, like I said, get back to as close a sense of normalcy as we can as soon as possible.
Thank you again. Appreciate it. Have a great week, buddy.
All right, buddy. You too.
Thank you. That's Eric Hasseltine. If you're not doing so already, you can follow him on Twitter. That's at Eric Hasseltine, ErichHasseltine, the voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Don't forget, 5 great locations to serve you in the area. We're talking about the Enhanced Experience in Hendersonville at Circus World. Also, Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, the Tusculum area. Plus, don't forget Murfreesboro and And speaking of Murfreesboro, they're expanding their operations, and they'll eventually be making the relocation to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. And once completed later this summer, they'll have most of the attractions that you find currently in Hendersonville and their enhanced experience there. For more information to keep updated on what's happening in Murfreesboro, you can like the Strike and Spare Murfreesboro Facebook account. Also, for more information, you can go online, strikeandspare.com. And remember what we say, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Good afternoon. Latest crash in Madison. Spring Branch at Myatt Drive. OHP at Del Mar. Still working that accident. Bell Road at Hickory Hollow Parkway is still in its clearing stages. Heavy but moving out here on all the major outbound routes. Let's keep up the good work. Hey, for that perfect getaway just outside of Gatlinburg, check out Cosby Creek Cabins. Log on right now, CosbyCreekCabins.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. 800-942-1298. That's 800-942-1298.
Napa Know-How.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil plus a Platinum Oil Filter for just $22.98. Why does synthetic motor oil give your engine superior lubrication and protection? Because science. That's why. Pick up 5 quarts of Napa Full Synthetic plus a Platinum Oil Filter for just $22.98. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales price does not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer ends 7/31/20.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now, 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you along with Zach Williams. Big thanks to our visitors to the show today, Chip Towers with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, also Joe Rexrow with The Athletic, and Eric Hasseltine, the voice of the Grizzlies. This came out a little bit earlier this hour as far as a statement from the SEC. They just basically talked about the fact that the ADs met today, Zach, earlier today at one of the, in fact, it's the largest conference room as far as SEC headquarters, which allowed them to practice the social distancing of the group. And basically, obviously, nothing was settled. And it's one of these things where Greg Sankey, the commissioner, talked about it, where they had a productive meeting. But it's one of these things. It's clear that current circumstances related to COVID-19 must improve, and we will continue to closely monitor developments around the virus on a daily basis. I thought it was important, too, Zach, is the fact that they, you know, discuss various ways if we are talking about fall competition in 2020. They also brought up topics as far as game management best practices. Everything's still being discussed, but until that they, and this is what Sankey said, he says, we believe that late July will provide the best clarity for making the important decisions ahead of us. And I think this applies to all the Power Five conferences.
What's the point of the meeting? You know, they could have done this over any kind of Zoom or anything. Why come into the room and do all this stuff and then say nothing?
He addressed it because he thought it was productive to have in-person meetings with the ADs. And
but nothing happened. You know what I mean? It just seems strange to me. We'll talk about it all tomorrow, though, I guess.
We will. We'll get into details. But I think it's important to at least discuss all the possibilities, and that's what they did. I think that, you know, right now, the fact that they're having these discussions is the most important aspect of it. As always, we know you have choices, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. For Zach Williams, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have a great night, and make it count.
WPDQ, Franksboro.